Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country as BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say in yarn up strong too, Daddy. We're going to catch up a yarn now. We've got Rossi Andrews on the line, Mayor of Yarraba. Very good morning, Rossi. How are you? Hello?
Very well, Trevor.
Yeah, good. Good to hear your voice. Thanks for coming. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, Ross Andrews, Mayor of Yarraba Shire Council, but also I have connections back to Yalanji as well as Dungan. So yeah, happy to be on the show.
Lovely, beautiful. Thank you, brother. Thank you. How are you travelling, brother? And we've got the so-called deadline of vaccine, borders opening up regarding 17 December. How are you sitting over there at Yarraba?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a challenge, not only for Yarraba, but for many of our First Nations communities around the country. So I think we've still got a bit of work up ahead to do. I really don't know the data at the moment, but I think... You know, we're probably just maybe over 50% first dose and about 38% second dose.
Yes.
So, yeah, it is a bit of a challenge, but I think the health service and the COVID-19 team and all the organisations are doing their best to try and increase the rates out here.
They are, and hats off to Girin and Yalamaka and the work that they're doing. Also, we had support there from JT, Jonathan Thurston. Tell us about that input.
Yeah, through the JT Foundation, he's put a challenge out to the community. If we can get a double dose vaccination by 70%, he's willing to invest into male and female sports, as well as the young female in the JT Academy. So we've got a bit of challenge on our hand as a community.
Yes.
But I think we're up to it, and we're going to keep soldiering on and doing our best to increase the numbers out here.
I believe JT said if the numbers do, and we make the numbers, then he will be the number one ambassador for the Yarraba Seahawks as well as for the girls team as well, brother.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's the foundation's been really great with our young students out here as well, and they do a lot of work in terms of personal growth and personal development for these young students. But the foundation... Jonathan's a really, really good bloke, he means well, and he's got really genuine concerns about helping not only our community but other fellow Indigenous communities about increasing vaccination rates so we can protect our mob.
Exactly. And what do you think the hold-up is? Is it think of the fact that we're talking about needles, or we're talking about cultural reasons why people aren't taking the vaccine?
Yeah, I think there's a number of reasons why there's hesitancy, as well as there may be cultural or religious or other reasons. I know, reading some of our people reading articles on social media hasn't been a help as well in terms of, some of the fake news out there.
Yeah, exactly. Social media doesn't help, does it?
No, it's probably a force that's been pulling against us.
Yeah.
But... as I say, we're going to keep, doing our best. And
exactly.
Since some rules have been implemented by the state government in terms of December 17, we've seen some steady increase out here in terms of the numbers going up. So that's really encouraging.
Well, we all need to know that we need to protect our elders, we're vulnerable people, when it comes to this vaccine. So we just need to do a bit, or even come to the table and have that conversation with our First Nation health organisation like Girini, brother. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and credit to Girini and Quake.
Yes.
And the Peak Body, and many of the Aboriginal Medical Service are doing their best as well, supporting local mayors and Indigenous councils. So, yeah, I think if we can continue to work in partnership, I think we can really, try and increase the numbers to protect our mob because it is a challenge, but, I think we're up to it.
And congratulations, speaking of the Yarraba Seahawks, taking at the CDRL Grand Final this year. second win over a couple of years. So it's deadly to see, brother.
Yeah, that sort of that 5-week period during the finals really had the spirits of the community really lifted. And you know, Seahawks is about unity, and we managed to unify not only the club but unify the community and our followers out there as well. So yeah, it's been great. They had a good year this year, and NSVAL were really, really great as well. You know, they
exactly.
were really gracious in defeat, and they showed class.
Yes.
So. Yeah, no, sports is a tool that we can use to unite people but also celebrate our successes.
Yeah, for sure. Brother, also another success. You guys at Yarrabah got the new jetty out there. How are we travelling with that, brother?
Yeah, I think it's practically nearly completed there. I think they're probably co-locating or relocating the barge maybe in a week or two. So, it's looking up. It's a piece of infrastructure that... I think that the community are and we're excited about. So hopefully, you know, we can get some, you know, post-COVID that we can really have some economic opportunity.
Exactly.
And, yeah, it's looking good. And, you know, I think if we can manage to, you know, work with the tourism sector.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I mean, it'll be a window of opportunity. People out here.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, great talking with you, Brother Ross. Thank you very much. All the best to your team there, your mob. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon, hey?
Yeah, no, but I think I'm on the line with the regiment as well.
Are you, who you got there? You haven't got Eileen there, have you?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay, hello. Eileen, how are you? I'm trying to work out when I'm going to yarn with Eileen, but you're there with Rossie Andrews. Gee, lucky we weren't talking about you, Eileen. Shut up. Would have been good.
We had to learn how to do three-way chat on this thing.
Okay.
So, we were practicing, so
you're all right, good. Well, let me introduce you, my sister, to all our deadly listeners out there, having a deadly yarn with the Mayor of Yarrabah there, Rossie Andrews. But beside him, he's got Lieutenant Colonel Eileen Hall. So before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, Eileen?
Okay, so some of you may know me as Eileen Demon Hall.
Yes.
So I have families both in Highfell and in Woodjawoodjawoodjaw and Yarrabah and other areas. I've also got, I think, is Nanny Kathleen Walker there with you in the
I have.
Studio?
I'm going to put her on as well. We've got Auntie Kathleen Walker come to join us. Very good morning, my auntie. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you.
And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Auntie Kathleen.
My name is Kathleen Walker. I'm from Woodjawoodjawoodjaw. I'm Nyongol and Yalanji.
All right, deadly. Now, you and Auntie Kathleen, Eileen, have got good connection there. She speaks highly of you. She looks at you as a leader for the mob and being a lieutenant colonel in the army, of course. You've got to be that way. So quickly tell us your story there, Eileen.
So I first enlisted in 2017 as part of a group of us from Woodjawoodjaw. I was CEO at Woodjawoodjaw Aboriginal Shire Council then.
Yep.
And we had support from Justice Group to work with our young ones. That was the thing that Nanny Kathleen and them had spoke about. And I'll let her yarn a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
But I enlisted in 2017, and we started our journey with 51st Battalion, Final Queensland Regiment. And then after I'd finished working with council, I then decided to do Army Reserve work. And around that time, that's when COVID started picking off really, 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 you know, rampant, particularly in early 2020. So my role then was to work with Army in terms of with the checkpoints and then also supporting councils as well and understanding how that process worked. So when the Biosecurity Act was enacted,
yes.
You know, that we had a role to play. And what was really wonderful to see was First Nations soldiers being able to be at most of those checkpoints to support, you know, community.
Yeah, and I feel that when you talk Army, sometimes a little bit threatening, you know, but when you're talking black soldiers, black on black, that's deadly, isn't it, sis?
Oh, it's amazing the talent we have within our First Nation communities. And I guess if we look at, like, family, country and service,
yes,
a lot of our countries, First Nation countries and families, they already have a long history of service,
exactly.
Not only in Army, but, exactly, but Navy and Air Force. So, you know, if we go to the Torres Strait, you know, they had the Torres Strait Light Infantry Brigade,
yep,
which is, you know, Australia's first and only all-Indigenous unit when it was established. We've got the Coast Watchers, which, you know, through Nanny Kathleen's side of the family, you know, that they have a connection to. Then you go west to the Nakarus, so... you know, that history is well and truly there.
Yeah. And congratulations, Australia's Army's first Formation Command Cultural Advisor. That's the title they've given you. So you're just too deadly, my sister.
I think for the listeners out there, we all come from humble beginnings.
Yes.
And, you know, I had to drop out of uni to support family.
Yeah.
And so my first job ever was a CDP, two-day Aboriginal health worker at Hopewell Clinic.
Yes.
That was my first job ever.
There you go.
you know, so from humble beginnings.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
And work. And so, you know, the for those listeners out there, 51st Battalion is what we call one of our regional force surveillance units.
Yep.
They also have other sister units, which is North Force, which is the Northwest Mobile Force, which includes Northern Territory and Kimberley, and then we have a third regiment, which is the Pilbara Regiment.
Yep.
So, and then they all feed up to the Regional Force Surveillance Group. So that's 52% of you know, the landmass within Australia.
Exactly.
So that's huge.
It is
and
huge.
So they needed... Yeah.
Mm. Sonny Kathleen Walker here. Just bring her into the conversation. Sonny Kathleen, you do work up there in Woodjawoodjal with the youth. Is that right? Youth Justice, I believe?
Yes.
So tell us your story there and tell us what you're doing up there.
Well, I want to work closely with our youth for respecting.
Yes.
And it's all about respecting.
A lot of our young ones have lost that respect,
yes,
haven't they?
Lost their culture.
Lost their culture. Mm-hmm.
And but working with the armies, you know, I think they the one can bring that respect,
yeah,
you know, to our people. In both ways, not only
well, especially our black soldiers. When you got sister like Eileen here, she's a lieutenant colonel, and when they see a black person in that uniform, that brings attention.
Yes,
and listen to what they're saying.
Yeah, and not only black fella, there's white because we learn from both ways.
Of course, we do.
From Bama black and white Waibala too.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Exactly.
So this is my idea. I want to work, and that's why I want to work closely with the armies.
Yeah.
And when Eileen came to
Woodjawoodjal,
and she brought that light.
Yes, the shining light, Eileen. You listening?
And she brought respect.
Yeah.
Not only for herself, like I said to your brother, to all,
everybody in the community. Black and white, young and old.
Yes, black and white, young and old.
Deadly. So you've got a fan here, you could say, Eileen there, sister. You happy with that?
I think the beauty of that relationship was we forgot we had a song line with 51, with Army, and they came from them two elders. Mm. And, you know, that's where Mayor Andrews connects in as well. You know, like those two Ajis went across. They fought in the World War One. You know, there's stories like that all over the country, and you know, it was around that reconnection piece. And I guess, you know, if we're talking at a local government sense, it's also there's an opportunity with the training that the young people get, and it's not only young people. We're getting single mums. We're also getting people my age, because I'm 49. I won't hide it. You know,
yep,
I'm
proud, proud 49 year old. Yes,
proud 49. You know, there's opportunities there for everybody. And so, like, from a local government perspective, you know, there's a workforce that they know in times of disaster that they can utilise. And then it's also, like, dealing with a lot of that self-respect through training. And because, you know, that, you know, family country service, you know, part of that is also being trusted on country, and who knows their country.
Exactly.
You know?
And when we're talking about raising kids, I mean, it takes a community to raise a child. So if we're talking army, we're talking soldiers, we're talking police force, we're talking teachers, we're talking uncle and aunt, it's a community that raises a child.
Yes.
And Catherine, so you're happy with the work that you're doing in New Justice? How long have you been doing that sort of work?
Well, I was working for Justice Group from 1998, and now it's 2021.
Yep, there you go.
And I am proud.
Yeah.
Because I want to help my people too.
Yep.
But here become made me so proud.
Yeah.
So, and the strength she gave, I think, to all the community, and it made the traditional owners from Mujal very strong.
Very strong, yeah.
And the name that I gave you, Wawita.
Wawita.
Mm-hmm. It's my mom's language name.
And what that means?
Wawita means water lily.
Water lily.
And you know, you always have a smile, and you have that knowledge and the law, what Bama respect and Waibala respect, both ways.
So the name again?
Wawita.
Wawita. You hearing that, Eileen?
I'm very humbled, and it was really funny because in army they'll call me Eileen, but when I'm in Wujal they call me Wawita.
Wawita, yeah, beautiful, fantastic. Yeah. And Annie, Kathleen, when you look at our mob, our communities, Yarraba or wherever, when you have an individual or group of people go away and find their profession, their success, whether it be sports, doctorate, army, whatever, and then coming back in community, success breeds success. It's empowering, isn't it?
Yeah. In Wujal, we love to see, because in Wujal at the moment, we don't see people like that come to Wujal. Like, we want to see...
Especially their own.
Yeah.
Exactly, come back on country.
They need to go to school and to learn and respect and...
Come back strong, and that's what Eileen has done. Yeah. You started there. You did say that, Eileen, that you got your roots are strong and you're grounded. Mm. And here you are, Lieutenant Colonel in the Army. I ain't going to mess with you, sister.
Well, you know, it's humble beginnings. And,
yes, it is.
You know, and what we're finding with a lot of our young ones is, you know, school may not have been a good thing for them. And so they're coming back, like, in their early 20s, but they want that education piece. So they've, Regional Force of Vales Group have a Indigenous Development Wing, which works on pathways in terms of scaffolding them to the levels that they need to be, whether it's, you know, reading and writing, but it's also around that self-development piece. They also have the Army Indigenous Development Program.
Sure.
So this is like pre-recruitment. We've got one young fellow at the moment who's from Connections to Mapoon and Weepa, who's currently looking at becoming one of our first to join Royal Military College as officer entry. Like, those are the success stories that we're hearing, and it's giving our little fellows and also our communities that sometimes the path is not always straight. Sometimes they've got to go walk around a long way first, but as long as there's opportunities for them, and some of the work that we've been doing, and especially, like, you know, I always talk with Mayor Andrews around, you know, opportunities whereby they can have dual employment, so not only army work, but also that work that they can do in community, whether it's for council, whether it's for health, or, you know,
exactly.
And what we're looking at too, on country rangers program is another one. It just lends itself to it.
Yeah, sure. So you're over at Yarraba at the moment there with, you're in the office there with Rossy Andrews.
No, I'm in Darwin at Regional.
Oh, and Rossi has called him, so there's a 3-way conversation going on. I'm trying to figure out how the yarn is happening, but that's too deadly. And so what work are you doing up in Darwin at the moment then, sister?
So one of the things we're looking at with my role is I'll be working across the Regional Force Surveillance Group, so with Pilbara, North Force, as well as 51st Battalion. With my role is also the work in terms of, like, with government leaders, defence, but also in terms of with community-based leaders. So, whether it's land councils, whether it's rangers programs. We also had presentations at training, like linking in with ANZAND, our Northern Territory peak body, which is like QUAG in Queensland.
Yes.
Getting the CEO and their doctor, their public health doctor, to give presentations to young soldiers to talk about COVID and also a need for being healthy. We've also linked in with NALSMA.
Good.
With Uncle Ricky Archer.
Yes. Spoke to him yesterday. You know, beautiful, yes. Ross, are you there, Ross? No, Ross has moved on. No, sorry. Yeah, so continue that yarn.
Sorry, Trevor. I'm here. I'm here. Sorry.
No, thank you, brother. Just asking. So do you have engagement with the Army personnel for over Yarraba?
Yeah, no, we really have a really good, strong and special relationship with the regiment, the 51 FNQ regiment, Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And currently we have about 25... young people in there.
Good.
Soldiers. So they're being supported through our local employment service out here as well. So
deadly.
I've seen a change with some of these young people in terms of once they do their training with the Army Armed Forces, and they come to me, you can see a real change in them. You know, their attitude, their respect.
Yes.
And, you know, they get up and go. So... yeah, it's been a real change for them in terms of their personal and their self, their growth. So they have a good relationship also with some of the veterans out here in the Kapani program.
Yeah, gotcha, Kapani. Yeah, big hats off to those guys.
Yeah, so Yarrabah's got their own RSL out here as a chapter, and you know, we do the Plans Act and the Remembrance Day, and once they come back home, they really add value, but they also have a special relationship with the veterans. So
beautiful.
I can't speak highly enough in terms of what Lieutenant Colonel Eileen Hall has done for us here.
Yeah, deadly.
And she's recommended in Edmonton, so hats off to them.
Hats off, yeah. Thank you very much. Look, a beautiful yarn. Thank you both, Rossy Andrews, Mayor of Yarrabah, and thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Eileen Hall, you too deadly, my sister up there in Darwin, and also to Arnie here, come to join us in the studio, Kathleen Walker with Woodjal Youth Justice, and she's very proud of the work that that you're doing there, Eileen, and thank you all for the yarn, you mob.
Yes, and thank you to all the listeners out there. And also to elders that may be listening, young people that, you know, might be wanting to join up. We do waivers, education waivers, medical waivers, that kind of thing. If you're interested, link up. And a lot of opportunity. And thank you so much for hosting us today and letting us tell our story, Uncle. Very, very
too deadly beautiful. Eileen, thank you so very much, Lieutenant Colonel Eileen Hall. Rossy Andrews, Mayor of Yarrabah, thank you very much. A beautiful yarn. And also, Auntie Kathleen Walker, thank you for coming in. And you had a soldier drop you off. You got a soldier picking you up very soon, eh?
Yeah.
You're too deadly. Represent. Yeah. All the best to you, eh?
Yeah, yellow, thank you.
Too deadly. All right, thank you, guys. You take care. Lieutenant Colonel Eileen Hall and Ross Andrews, we'll yarn soon, my brother.
No worries, brother.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
This is a beautiful yarn, fantastic yarn, and up there with Lieutenant Colonel Eileen Hall and the Army Appoints First Senior Command Cultural Advisor with ceremony on Woodjal Country, Queensland. That was that yarn there. And so beautiful to see yarning up there, and also Rossy Andrews. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416.
I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. I see the shadows, I see the gallows. What happens in the deep washes in the shallows. I don't want to speak about the first battles. They can only see when they're looking down a barrel. I see the shadows, I hear the shots. I feel the spirit from the fight that never stopped. They want to talk about how far we got. Never stops. Where
where the bodies drop, they build up the house parking lot. And they call that survival. Put us on a mission. Force fed us bubbles. They put statues on our land just to worship false idols. Cuffs on our hands just to keep us in a cycle. Blood on their hands, bodies at their feet. And there's a warning, they gon' hang them from the trees. Name for the banks, rivers and the streets. Now the shadows never leave, no justice, no peace.
Shadows on the hill, up beside the old sawmill, where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
On the product of resistance, I embody who survived. On the strength of that spirit, on the voice of who have died. So who the fuck are you to civilize? Now we can't rely when you recall. I hear your words, I see your lies. And in the dead of night, you can hear those babies cry. You can feel those eyes from the banks where they lay beside. Feel it in your spine when you know you're not alone. Shine bright till the shadows make it home.
Stones, they'll forever be alone. Their killers got all free, but their shadows never leave. I see shadows on the hill, up beside the old song. Where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. I see shadows on the hill, up beside.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Beggar Man, Uncle Archie Roach here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yana Strong. Give the Murray call, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. On your Dingy Country, BBM, Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, too, Deadly, going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly's sister, Florence Drummond. Now, she's the one of the ambassadors alongside rugby league legend Jonathan Thurston. will be an Indigenous Women in Mining and Resource Australia Chief Executive Officer and co-founder, and the recipient of the Queensland Reconciliation Awards, which was announced on the line. We got sister on the line, Florence. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Balachar. How are you?
Well, not as deadly as you, but I'm deadly.
You're pretty deadly, though.
Shut up.
I was, like, trying to listen to what you were saying. I was like, hey, what's this Murray from Macquarie?
He fired up, yeah. So all my mob were born in Cloncurry, but all family there were Darnley Island, mum's side, and dad, Aboriginal man, there were Wanyi and Gungalita. But enough about me. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were. You from Florence?
We're probably related now.
Yeah, connection.
So I'm a Dara with people from Far North Queensland, so up in the Torres Strait, born and raised there.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is me. That's where I'm from. Florence Drummond. My dad still lives on TI, if you're on there, from there. And, yeah, we'll pass there every day. So.
Yes, exactly. To go to the Outer Islands, you've got to go TI first.
That's it.
Congratulations in regard to your win there, well, Reconciliation Awards. Queensland, and you do what you do, not for no reward or recognition, acknowledgement. You do because you love and passionate about it. But tell us about the work you're doing, and Women in Mining and Resource Australia, Chief Executive Officer you are, co-founder. So tell us about that journey and working on this big island in the mining sense.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, so I started my mining career up in Weipa, so shout out to everyone there in Weipa as well, or from there or been there.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was there for 7 years, but yeah, throughout my time really realised that there was no mob in leadership, so I was like, well, how? So yeah, that's when I really started.
We're going to change this.
Yeah. We need to. Exactly. So then I started this kid. So then I started this Facebook group just to reach out to mob who are in industry, like not only here in Queensland, but also like across to the west as well, because we know our old people travelled over here, you know, in the 50s to build that railway line, and then also mob from country working in the industry. So I really wanted to know and reach out to see, you know, which way, like, you know, how are you? What do you do? You know, wanted to understand, you know, are we in leadership? And if not, how do we get...
When did you start that Facebook reach out?
A few years ago. So that was maybe 2017, 2018. So,
and that created a platform then, didn't it?
It did. And you know what? I was a little bit scared there because it grew very quickly. I had a lot of amazing women and, you know, and men as well reach out to say, how do we help?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a very good community approach to say, well, you know what, we want to do this because we know that if we can position ourselves to be more financially empowered, we can then change many other social issues. But at the same time, like, how do we, like, be role models more than anything and create opportunities and experiences for mob? Because, you know, we know that we can say and do all these beautiful, amazing things that that inspire people, but we can't do it for people. So we need to keep on leading more than anything,
And it also becomes a beautiful platform as if to say to the brother and sister out there working in mining, you're not alone. Yeah, there's a group of us here, and we can all succeed together. The old phrase, you subby island woman, high tide rises all ships. You know what I mean?
And we get
it together, together. It's a powerful tool and vehicle you use, but then it really put you out there, didn't it, Florence?
Oh, totally did. I was so scared because, like, I was pulled in so many directions. I was talking at these, you know, fancy conferences and functions. And, you know, this one here can't even speak English properly.
Shut up. Fake it till you make it. And that's not your walk. That's not your talk. Shut up.
But, no, it was good fun. And actually, it took us overseas as well. So before COVID and just before that, we traveled over to Latin America. So we met some amazing brothers and sisters over in Peru, Chile, Colombia. Even though that we could, because they speak Spanish over there mostly, and even though we couldn't communicate correctly, like we had translators and everything, but same kind passed in, like the food, the family, the love.
All same kind. Same kind, they were TSI.
But it was really good, so I'm really looking forward to growing those connections. So for mob here in industry, connecting with mob over there, you know, and just kind of building that network and conversation because, you know, once we start to talk to each other, we learn from each other as well, but we can share and eventually visit each other. You know,
okay. And so the hat you wear as in Women in Mining and Resource Australia Chief Executive Officer and co-founder, so is that your full-time job now? Is that what you're doing?
trying to do that, which is good. Mm-hmm.
But are you on machinery as well, or what's your your trade as such?
So I was an operator, so a machine operator, so a truckie, which is good. But then, you know, what also I had to do was build my business capacity as well. So I had to learn about things like how to run a business, you know, what's governance, how to do all these things. And one thing that I was really blessed with, and this is, you know, from the industry, is that you have that disposable income where you can afford for other people for making for you, you know?
Yes. Like,
and that really helped me to learn. But then I also had to learn, you know, how to be a business owner. And that was hard, honestly. Mm. Like, I'm not saying that it's easy.
No.
But it takes commitment
and
with so many things. And you have to be so vulnerable as well. Like, you have to be so visible. Like, you have to get out there and talk. And this
it's all about the marketing part of it, isn't it?
Conversation. Like, because when you talk for mob and they're like, hey, you're supposed to be looking after the country now, but you're advocating for mob in industry.
Yeah.
So then that is a very, very common conversation. But the way that we do it is we do it through education. So we look at all of our social hurdles and say, well, you know what, if we weren't the most incarcerated mob, if we were the healthiest mob in our country, then we wouldn't need to do all these things to build our own selves up and take our own ownership. But what I've really found is that because we can afford better standard of living, that really starts to disable all these other things that we struggle with, right? Like our mob and our, you know, our friends and our family that are still going through those things. So, so that's really helped us kind of talk about what we do well.
Mm. Excellent. And the other thing is, too, is like, you're leading from the front. You're inspiring other young brothers and sisters that they can be and do whatever they want to do as well, not mainly in mining, but in anything, if they want to be a doctor or what have you, you know. We need more black successes. And look, that's what you are, Florence, and more power to you, my sister, and leading the way, sis. You there? Hello, Florence. Hey, Florence. Hey, leave me swinging in the breeze. I'm digging for yarn here, but you're not there. Shut up. That's Florence Drummond. Congratulations, Indigenous Women in Mining Resource Australia Chief Executive Officer and co-founder, and one of the recipients of the 2022 Queensland Reconciliation Awards, which was announced. And yes, she was one of them, as well as JT, Jonathan Thurston. Yes, we all know JT. And also deadly inspiring young doing good ATSIC founder, Samara Jones. Big shout out there, my sister. And Great Barrier Reef Advisor Council Board member, Duane Fraser. So they're the winners in regard to that. And they had a deadly yarn. There was one of the winners in Florence Drummond. But we'll continue the yarn here. Have your say, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Oh,
folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, Two Daily, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. Us, BBM Bumbaburrup Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So have your saying, Yana, strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, RACGP, says Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and communities are at increased risk as Australia opens up due to dangerously lagging COVID-19 vaccination rates. We're going to catch up yarn with Dr. Michael Clemens, Rural Chair of RACGP, on the line. Dr. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Doctor, where are you based?
I'm based in Townsville and I work in Magnetic Island and go and visit Corumba and Normanton and Doomadgee and Julia Creek and all sorts of other places up in the country.
Beautiful. Big footprint, but based down there, just down the road. Look, a very important conversation talking about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander vaccination rates, a critical risk as holiday season approaches. So, look, we are not out of the woods, so to speak, and our people, as First Nation people, especially elders, are vulnerable. We need to get a hold on lifting those rates up, yes?
Yeah, it's a national shame that we still need to be talking about this right now. We could have told everybody a year ago that we needed to invest more time, more energy, just connecting, communicating, working with the elders, working with the communities, just getting a consistent communication message and just investing that time so that we could have had higher vaccination rates by now.
And so with that, the borders opening up, and like December 17th, which is not too far away, do we know what happens if, someone catches COVID-19, people have survived from it, but can you get the vaccine thereafter?
Well, we know that most people, particularly if you're young and healthy, that catch COVID will survive, but they'll be unwell for a period of time, and they're going to make family members sick. And we know from what's happening in Northern Territory right now that we've had babies that have caught COVID and older people, and that those are the most vulnerable. Sadly, we've had low vaccination rates in some communities and high vaccination rates in others, which means they're much more vulnerable. But it's never too late to get vaccinated. And the sooner people get their vaccine, the sooner they can protect themselves and their mum and their dad and their kids and keep that community safe.
If you look at it, some people feel that like we're being used as guinea pigs, but there's been people across the planet who've taken the vaccine, and people are more safer with the vaccine.
I can understand why people are worried about the vaccine, and they're worried that they might be singled out. But what's happening is all the white people are getting vaccinated on the coast and Sydney and Brisbane, and they've got well over 90% of those populations are vaccinated. Mm. But our First Nations people are behind because perhaps we just haven't been working hard enough to communicate the message that this is safe, that we're getting vaccinated ourselves. I, myself, my wife, my kids, we're all vaccinated. My parents. So we just need to be able to connect and reassure people that there's no experimentation here, that there's nothing special. Everybody in Australia is offered the same vaccine, and it's the best way of keeping us safe.
As far as we can remember, even us as kids, we were given vaccine needles, what have you, and it has killed other viruses, other disease. It's the world we live in at the moment, Doctor.
We've got amazing successes. You know, we don't have smallpox in the world now. We've only got a few pockets of polio. Most kids in Australia are vaccinated, including First Nations. So they've got everything from hepatitis to measles, mumps, rubella, and those don't occur at all now in most communities. And so this is just another vaccine. This is another bug that we can protect people against. It uses the same science and the same medicine to protect. And so it's just the same as going into your normal childhood ones, but this time we need the adults to roll up their sleeves.
And so with the vaccine, you take the first shot, a second one is required. What's the distance in between the first and second time-wise?
It works Yeah, it works best with two and even better with three. So you have one now, another one in about 3 weeks, but it can happen up to 6 weeks. And then we are also now recommending that people should have a third dose another 6 months after that. So one now and one in 3 weeks, that'll keep you protected and keep your family protected as the borders open.
And when you're talking about the third one, is that what they call the boost?
Well, we are talking about boosters now. So we've had these vaccines for a good 18 months now, and they've been used internationally. Well over billions of doses have been given out. We now think that it's best that you get a top-up at 6 months. So, for example, I myself had my first two shots back in March, and so I've had a booster now, and so I've had three shots. And so it doesn't matter if you start now. It's great if you're, you know, any day is a good day to get vaccinated, but it's likely that we're going to recommend that people get an annual booster, just like we do with a flu vaccine.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you for the yarn. So to our mob out there listening in, get the jab, have the conversation with your First Nation Health Organisation. Dr. Michael, all the best to you and your family, your team. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye. That's Dr. Michael Clemens, his name is, Rural Chair of RACGP. That's the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners. And talking about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander vaccination rates are critically rates are critical risk as holiday season approaches. And holiday is going to open up and the border is going to open up, and we are vulnerable if we haven't got the jab. So have that conversation with your First Nation Health Organisation. Let's keep safe, you mob. Got the news up coming up very soon. 7 minutes left on program. National Talk Black, Too Deadly. 1-800-422-416.
Wait for me by the river, so I can take you by the hand, hand, yeah. And we can walk and we can talk for hours and hours about nothing in particular at all. Wait, wait, wait for me. And we can lay the ocean, fire now right, and the hammock on our left, and the waves at our feet, and the stars will be the only lights that we see, for the red and the blue and the yellow that the burning fire plays. Listen, listen, listen.
Yeah, Five Rocks, Busby Maru here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416. We've got someone on the line. Good morning, brother.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, good morning, brother. Yeah, comment on the guest that you've had so far. Florence Drummond, she has a Facebook, she has a Facebook site, and that's, I thought it was really deadly. And I thought the other ones were very powerful. Powerful in the fact that it's my case in point, brother. You know, we are hearing you on the time about social media, people getting them. But Florence, the other guest, Drummond, she has a face. Not all social media sites are bad, brother.
No.
You know, the promo used to be for the show was, you will hear on this program what you don't hear on mainstream. We're not hearing that now, brother. And I thought it was a good shot. I'm not centering around this particular time slot of the guest that came on. Over a period of time, we're always hearing government, you know, government stuff. And I think, you know, what you hear, what you don't hear on this show, you'll get it in social media, brother. That thing down in Melbourne, that protest there, and I want to talk about brother Tiger Bales, and not to say connect Tiger or the 1988 the Centenary March would take anything away from them to connect them with what happened in Melbourne, but make the point that I think that by Centenary March, he had a walkie-talkie, and he was a marshal, brother, and he was a marshal that made sure people don't muck up the march, the protest, and there was a person of interest from Asia. His name was Jack Van Tong, and he was a nasty far-right bloke from Perth, and he was going to do something else that march to illegitimize what our causes were for, and that's the same way down in Melbourne. There were, I think, about 60 QCs there. There was Peter Credle in there. There was another bloke there, Jack Rush, I think his name. He was an governor, former armed governor, or something like that. But they were people with clout, and they're not all people that go on social media, but I think they didn't like what the minister was going to do. Bring in this new lockdown thing, you know, take away a lot of rights of the people of Melbourne. And there were a lot of people against it, but again, you had these blue patriots. I think they were blue patriots, the followers that showed disrespect at the shrine. You get these followers that come in and they muck up the old cause, what it was for. A lot of people were there for good reason. But I think it tried to take away what they were on about. And that's what I'm on about, brother, about this stuff. It's taken more and more away our freedom, brother, and it doesn't matter what's in it for me. What's in the COVID for me? I think brother Shawnee Chulpa was on, and he said, "Oh, you know, he got that from social media." And he said, "Oh, well, we should take Panadol." But there was a Kevin, I forgot his name. He's a black comedian. He got that from there, but that black comedian used Tylenol. Well, you know, like. He said that you didn't know what was in Panadol before, but they still took Panadol. Well, brother, I didn't know what was in grog before either, or E-possum, or junk, grog. But I didn't know what was in that. But the difference is, brother, I took it by choice, but that was my consent, and other black people took it because you know, but this one's, now, the way it is, you know, Anna Clark, they had that coercive control, and I think that we're being, what's happening to us is, you know, same kind of stuff. We're putting a lot of pressure on us, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you very
Thank
much,
you, my brother. Thank you. A regular caller, Selwyn there. Murray, going to sign off you, Mob. I thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We're in a pandemic. Abide by the rules. Get the conversation happening with your First Nation Health Organisation. Get the jab or have the yarn. Too deadly.